evening, fish friends. This is Gerwin with the Just Fish podcast, and I am here to talk to you again about those things that I believe in and my opinions on all things aquarium related. And I have been asking for some time for anybody that has any questions or something that they'd like me to do a podcast on to give me some ideas. And I've had a few people send me some things or tell me some things. And, you know, this person happened to hit me at a time when it was time to do a podcast. So I actually remembered what the question was. And they asked me to do some talking on some of the water parameters. So, I mean, there's a lot of information out there already. And I started thinking about it, and I'm thinking, you know what, I don't know that I have done anything on the water parameters before. And sometimes you get so caught up on everything else that just the basic information of where you need to keep your water parameters gets overlooked. And I'm sure if you go online, it's everywhere, and I'm sure there's plenty of books that also tell you this. There's not a whole lot of deviation on most of it. I mean, it's pretty much the science is there. The things that I might input when I discuss these things is what I've personally seen to be okay. So we'll talk about the perfect number, and then we'll talk about numbers where organisms seem to still thrive and do just fine under most circumstances. So no sense in dicking around. We will go ahead and get right into it. Now, also, I rarely make any kind of notes when I do these podcasts. The most note I'll do is some sort of a topic. And then when I get that topic in, you know, I turn on the mic and we go for it, man. We wing it. And it works for me. I hope it works for you guys. Sometimes I wonder if it's not a little boring or I'm not a little flighty all over the place. But you figure all day long I get asked questions and I just answer them and we just go with it. One of these days, you know, they got something on YouTube I've noticed is that YouTube Hangouts. I think it'd be cool if, you know, I get time to figure that crap out where, you know, I can actually have like another face out there and someone could like come on and ask me a question and I can answer it because, you know, I'm probably at my best when I'm actually speaking to another human being and I'm excited about answering the question and excited about hearing their issue and, you know, sort of working with them to see if we can't resolve whatever problem they have or maybe enlighten them on making, you know, something even more awesome than what they've already started. But in the meantime, until I figure that out and or make time to figure that out, we're stuck with ears only and you guys driving to work, from work, to the grocery store, wherever, you know, you're sitting down, wife's over there, you know, trying on clothes, you can put your earbud in and listen to a podcast and see what's up in the world of Gerwin's brain and his little corner of the earth known as Just Fish or that little blue building on Pass Road in Biloxi, Mississippi. So let's get right to it. I've made a few notes on these parameters so I don't accidentally forget any, and I'll probably still forget something. And if I do, you know, someone can bring it to my attention and we'll talk about that a little more too. But I guess the thing here mainly is let's talk fish tanks and reef tanks. And, you know, maybe I'll try to step in. Fresh water is not going to be so different than salt water with the exception of the salt mix and the pH. So really and truly, whenever I talk about the salt water side, it almost parallels the fresh water side pretty much tit for tat. So, if we're talking a saltwater fish tank, one that does not have photosynthetic corals in it, or SPS or LPS, and we've talked about that before, that would be the small polyp stony corals and the large polyp stony corals, which require some of the elements at certain levels to grow proper skeletal growth. So, the main things we're looking at on our marine fish tank is a good salinity. So the marine fish tank, again, this is not talking reef, talking fish-only tank. Your range of salinity can be pretty broad there. Anywhere from about 1.017 to 1.025, 2.6, even 2.7, which is more, it's a little higher, more for the reef tank. Obviously, fish come from the reef, so why wouldn't they be able to live in that? Well, they absolutely can live in that. But what science and I personally have found is that the incidence of disease on fish seems to go up as the salinity goes up. That's why a lot of people choose, as do I, if I have a marine fish tank, only to run my salinity lower. So I like to run the salt at the shop for fish onlys at about 10, 18. I find that to be good. I don't panic if it's 10, 16. They'll live just fine there. And I don't do a lot if it's 10, 20. But if I'm going to actually key in and try to keep it somewhere, I'll actually shoot more for that 10, 17, 10, 18 number. If it's a reef tank, well, we all know that not only do corals seem to do a little better when we're achieving actual reef salinity, and that's going to be somewhere around 10, 24 to 10, 27, but as we have a higher salt level, our ability to press more calcium and bicarbonates and increase our alkalinity and such becomes better too. So we need more salt ions of salt to be able to bring up those levels higher if we want to get there. So on a reef tank, the salt we're going to run a little bit higher. As far as a fish tank, fish have been known to be able to tolerate nitrates pretty high. So, I mean, if you're running your nitrates at between 1 and 200 ppm, I don't really like it when someone has their tank hitting 200s. You're not going to get good color. You got some fin issues. They don't look real healthy. The color of your fish is usually off. It's just not a good environment. But the fish will tolerate that. Corals will not do well in that at all. You're not going to have a very successful reef tank. There might be a few specimens that can take that. I mean, I've seen some leather corals and some polyps living in some pretty crappy water. But, I mean, one would never advise that it'd be okay to be having a reef tank that high. For your reef tank, your nitrate numbers, really we don't like them to get above 20, 25. And your goal should probably be somewhere around 0 to 5, right? If you're at 10, I wouldn't panic. I'd be okay with that. If I'm at 20, I'm not panicking, but I know I need to step on my water changes a little bit or consider maybe a better protein skimmer and, possibly the use of some carbon dosing, whether it be BioPellets or Nopox. There's a number of products out there for carbon dosing your tank. So we've talked about your salt level and your nitrates. Let's talk about another two quickies. That would be ammonia and nitrite. Those are things that you don't want in fresh or salt water. Those are usually only visible in cycling tanks, new tanks, and or tanks that have been overfed or filters have been shut down, where now you have all this organic matter beginning to decompose and your bacteria level is depressed for some reason. And now you're going to get measurable quantities of ammonia and nitrite. Whenever you see this going on, gang, we need to step on that water change with some urgency, because the idea is that we're now possibly going to be killing things in our aquarium. And this is both for coral or fish, fresh or salt. You don't want to have any detectable ammonia, and you don't want any detectable nitrites as well. And believe it or not, nitrite poisoning is actually harder on freshwater fish than it is saltwater fish. Saltwater fish are actually going to tolerate low levels of nitrite better than freshwater fish. And actually, the reverse is true on ammonia. Ammonia is going to be quite toxic to marine life, and freshwater fish can actually deal with it slightly better. Although, you don't want that in either case. Hopefully, I'm not going too fast. I guess you can rewind and go back and forth and see if you didn't catch something the first time. So another thing that's sort of across the board on all these systems is temperature. For the most part, I always tell folks to just target in somewhere between 78 and 80. Now, a lot of this can be based off of where you live. We live down south in Mississippi, and it's very humid, very warm, hot. We run our AC, and unless you got big money, you're like me, you run at about 78 degrees. I'm comfortable, but I'm not trying to have a $500 electric bill. Well, so my ambient room temperature is 78. By the time you put some lights on, some motors running in your tank, it wouldn't be unusual for it to be hitting 80, 81. So what do? Well, you set your heater for 81, right? So that way it just keeps it constant. If the temperature wants to drop in the evening, the heater comes on, holds it at 81. Now, conversely, if I had, I didn't care about my AC bill and I wanted to keep my thermostat at 72 year-round, or I live up north where 72 is comfortable and I don't have to run AC to do that, well, then I would probably run my heater set for 76, 78. That's a fine temperature at 76 if you kept that all the time. There's some benefits to that. But don't panic if your tank ever gets to 82 or 83. So I guess this podcast discussion shouldn't necessarily be an in-depth discussion on certain parameters, but so much that where you should panic and where you shouldn't panic. So in your freshwater fish, your saltwater fish, and your reef aquarium, 84, 85, I don't want it to necessarily get much warmer than that, but so long as I have good water flow, good surface movement, that's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem. The problem becomes is when you move it from 78 to 84 very quickly. Now we've put a form of stress on, but if, it slowly climbed up there and took a couple days or, a full 24 hours slowly bringing it up, really shouldn't be that big of a deal. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen tanks at 94. Fish were not happy. A lot of labored breathing going on because oxygen begins to dissipate out of the water as temperature rises. But and it seems like invert life takes it harder. Your shrimp, your starfish, your sea urchins, those guys are going to take a hammering as that temperature begins to rise. And soon your corals will start to go down too. But at 84, 85, let's look at why it's that high. And let's see if we can't maybe bring it down and keep it around 81, 82 on our high end. And, there's fans that you can put over your tank that will easily help you keep that temperature down. So the safe range for temperature, we're going to go 76 to 82 ideally. Whatever you do, you just want to pick a number and try to hold it there all the time. On the outside, I really wouldn't want my tank getting much hotter than about 84, 85. And on the low end, tropical fish, I would probably really not like it to get much cooler than about 74. Will they tolerate higher and lower than that, fresh, salt, and corals? Yes. Is it good for them? In my opinion, it is not. All right. So there's our temperature. So now we've got our salt taken out of the picture. We've got temperature out of the picture. We've discussed our nitrates, our ammonia, and our nitrites. So pH is always a goodie. I think pH, I don't want to say it's overrated because it's definitely important in the aquarium, but I believe that there's a lot of information out there that would lead someone that hasn't had a lot of experience that pH is like the most important factor out there. I don't believe that to be so. What I do believe is that fluctuating the pH a lot can be incredibly hard on certain species. And if we can't keep it in that specimen's ideal range, then keeping it the same all the time is probably a little bit more important. So I'll give you a for instance. A marine tank's pH should be somewhere between about 8.1 and 8.3. I've seen perfectly successful, happy, growing, incredibly vibrant, beautiful tanks at 7.8 and 7.9. Not a big deal. The problem is more of an issue when you try to fight that number and you try to drive it to 8.1, and these changes rapidly can be incredibly damaging to life forms. So, rather than, if your tank wants to sit there and hum along at 78, 79 in a marine tank and everybody's happy, and you can maintain that 24/7, man, I'm down with going for that. That should not be a problem at all. You should never really have a problem with it being too high unless you're adding some product to your tank, because pH's natural tendency is to go down, not to rise. So I guess at the end of the day, if we can keep our pH at 8.1, that's fantastic. If your pH always wants to stay around 7.9, fine. Just try to keep it at 7.9. If yours wants to stay at 8.3, fine. Try to hold it at 8.3. Don't be driving it up to 8.5 and down to 7.9, right? We just want to find a number that's somewhere in an acceptable range and hold it. You know, the books you're going to pick up, of course, you know, it's like, oh, what does it say about the yellow Tang? And, excuse me, that was a text that sort of broke my my concentration. You know, and I'm just coming up with this. The yellow Tang exists in the Pacific Ocean. Its natural temperature is 76 degrees and pH of 8.2, right? Well, that's probably the entire Pacific Ocean out there in the area that that fish is caught. That doesn't mean that it can't live in something different. They're just telling you where that fish, the pH range is in the area that that fish was caught. So, you know, will they breed better if you get them at the right pH? You know, are they more likely to lay eggs, whatever? Yeah, sure. But it's not a this or they die situation. And that's what I want to try to impress on you guys. Want to meet me in Winn-Dixie parking lot in 15 minutes. So hold on, gang. I hate to do this to you, but that's my UPS guy. He's got a package. And the best thing I can tell you about this is this podcast will be over in less than 15 minutes, which means that will be 7:30. So we're 16 minutes and 40 seconds. Let's move on. We've talked about pH. I know that's always a biggie because I get tons of people come to the store. Well, I've checked my pH. They got these problems, right? Oh, my fish are dying. This is happening. My water's cloudy. And well, have you checked your water? Yeah. Okay. Well, what was your ammonia and your nitrite and your nitrates? I didn't check those. But I checked my pH. The guy at Walmart said, I got to check my pH. Yeah. pH is the last of our worries. It's way down there on my hit list of things I need to look at. It's more of an indicator to me of how well someone takes care of their tank. Because I told you what, pH's tendency is to drop, right? So if I see somebody's pH incredibly low or lower than normal, along with other issues that they're describing that they have to me, it gives me a good idea that this person probably isn't taking care of their tank quite like they're leading me to believe that they are. So now we're going to come into the big three for reef tanks, and that is calcium, alkalinity, and magnesium, and phosphate. So really, I guess the big four. Calcium. We need to have a range of somewhere between 400 and 450, probably idea. I'm perfectly cool if it's at 300, and I'm okay if it's at 475. I would actually probably prefer having my calcium levels, honestly, I'd rather have them at 380 than 475. I've seen tanks at lower than 380. SPS is growing fine. I've seen them at 475 and 500 growing fine too. But hey, if I don't have to sit there and use as much calcium to drive it up that high, why in the hell do I want to do it? You know, that's my thinking. Most of y'all are blown away when you come in the store. Man, I can't believe how big that acro is going. Look at that bird's nest. My God, it was just this and that and this fast. Look, I have a hard time in that tank keeping that calcium at 400. Any given time, it's 380 for sure. Maybe even 360 sometimes. Not that big a deal. Do not freak out because you ain't at 450 because that's what the book said. Or Joe Blow growing this one SPS coral keeps his at 470. So now you got to try to keep it at 470. Well, you can try that if you want. I'm not worried about that number because I've seen plenty of corals growing just fine with a lower number. That number is not making or breaking how fast your shit's growing. Alkalinity. Here's another one. This is another number that people love to chase. Oh, if you SPS guy, oh yeah, well, I gotta keep mine at, you know, 9 to 10 DKH or 4 milliequivalents per liter, because that's what Jim Bob Joe does for his fantastic, you know, green weed acro, whatever. Yeah, You know, look, here again, it comes down to what you have seen in real life and not what you've read in a book, right? So many of you may have been to a tank where they keep them at those numbers and stuff looks fine. That's great. I'm not saying not keeping your alkalinity at 3.5 milliequivalents or 9 isn't a bad thing. That's fantastic. What I do want to drive home to you, though, is that if your alkalinity is at 2.8 milliequivalents or 7 DKH, this is not panic time. This ain't get in a hurry to go run down to the shop to buy chemical time. This is just about, hey, my stuff is here. What I would like to see more about your alkalinity and your calcium, more so than the numbers being anything specific, that they are proportional to each other. So what I wouldn't want you to have is I would not want you to have, let's say your alkalinity, we would like to have that around 3.2 be a good number. So I wouldn't want you to have your alkalinity at 2.7 and your calcium, which we would call a good number at 425-ish, to be at 500. We're way skewed there. You kind of follow what I'm saying? We've got calcium is like at the highest of the chart and our alkalinity is at the lowest of the chart. We'd be way better if we were running those things proportionally with each other in a good relationship, and that would be something more like my calcium's at 400 and my alk is at 2.8 to 3.0. That would be a good relationship between those two numbers. And in my opinion, which probably ain't worth shit to most people anyway, but in my opinion, from my observations and my personal experiences, keeping those two numbers sort of in check with each other is of way better value than worrying about chasing a particular number. All right? Magnesium. The idea number for magnesium, 1320. There are certain issues that arise in reef tanks with an algae called bryopsis, and there is documentation out there that pumping magnesium up to 1600 with a specific brand will help sort of curb the growth of that bryopsis. So I have, as well as many other people, have driven their magnesium up to 1600. Seems to be no ill effect on the coral. Likewise, I have seen reef tanks where the magnesium was low. And although the corals don't seem to be suffering, those people sometimes have issue getting their calcium to get to a number they want. So there is definitely a relationship between calcium and magnesium that needs to be kept in mind. If your magnesium drops too low, sometimes it becomes more difficult for you to be able to increase and hold your calcium number. Last but not least, phosphates. Phosphates are pretty big. Phosphates are one of those things that if you let that sucker rise, which is always on the upward path, because remember, food contains phosphorus. Biological activities in the tank, a decomposition of organic matter, phosphates are going to be a byproduct of that as well. God forbid you're using tap water, you're just injecting it into your tank. This is a main source for nuisance algae growth. Also, high phosphates are said to, and I believe as well, prevent good plating of coralline algae and prevention of good stony coral growth. So, you know, keeping those phosphates low is a good thing. So what's the high number? 0.1 is considered high. 0.1. That's a small number, gang. That's 1/10. I didn't say 1.0. I said 0.1 is considered high, especially in a reef tank. Fish tanks, it's not a big deal. But in reef tanks, it's a very big deal. What's a good number? I'm going to go 0.0 to 0.05. Anywhere in there, I'm a happy camper. At 0.08, I'm starting to think it's about time to see change my GFO. 0.1 or above, I'm definitely changing my GFO. Granular ferric oxide or any number of other products that are designed to remove phosphates is what I'm referring to when I say GFO. So anyway, I've discussed calcium, alkalinity, magnesium. I've given you the numbers. I've given you the highs, the lows, what I think are fine. Salinity, we discussed it. Temperature, we've discussed it. Phosphates, discussed it. Nitrates, discussed it. Nitrites, discussed it. Ammonia, discussed it. pH, discussed it. And, you know what? I think I'm disgusted. Ha, just kidding. So anyway, this is it for this podcast. I have got to go meet my UPS driver. I did it. I got 5 minutes to get to the meeting location. As always, I truly appreciate everybody listening to these things, and I thank you so much for the question. It helps me pump a podcast out because it's like I got a chore. If you guys don't give me a chore and you just leave it to my own devices, I'll think of something crazy to talk about, or even worse, I may not talk about anything. Anyway, shout out to Zach. This was his question. Talk about water parameters. Zach, I hope I got it done like you wanted it. If not, tell me and we'll do it again. We'll get water parameters version 2. Thanks, everybody. Remember, evaporation is not a water change. Late.